Really glad you're here to join us this morning. Thank you deciding to come here. If you're new here, thank you for choosing to spend your Sunday morning here with us as we wrap up last week of our Join the Dirt series. Hopefully you've been able to learn something a little bit more about what joy is, what we can take away from it, like how we find it. I think it's a series that's very needed right now. As we wrap up the series, I'm super excited and hope that we could just be reminded of everything we've been able to learn and understand better what it actually means to find joy. So let's pray, and then we'll wrap up this series. So, dear God, just thank you for your love. Thank you. We get to come here and gather together as a church, and God, just be in your presence. I thank you that you're always with us, no matter where we're at. And I just thank you for being with us in this place and help us to see you. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to feel you, God. Pray that you'd help us to just grow more in our love and in our knowledge of you. And I pray that whatever it is we're carrying into this morning, God, that you'd help us to just release those things to you, that you would help us, God, to just take this time to focus on you. And take this time to focus on what it is you have to say into our hearts, and that I pray I wouldn't get in your way, and that God, you would just help us to hear your voice in this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. I want to start off by sharing a stat. Did you know that science has actually proven that if you help somebody, or if you volunteer to do something, or if you serve in any way, that based off what's like actually happening in your brain in that moment is that you actually have a 25% increase in your mental and emotional well-being. You're probably like, I have no clue what that means, so no, I didn't know that. What it means is like when you decide to take that step and you decide to like help someone, or if you're grateful and you're thankful and you decide to like just give like a helping hand, what happens is that you have all these chemicals releasing in your brain like dopamine and serotonin and even oxytocin, where it's just like giving you these feel-good feelings. And what it really is it's helping you to experience peace and joy and some kind of like satisfaction. But what's really happening is it actually is creating a buffer in your brain that keeps you from experiencing and feeling like heavy negativity or stress in that moment. Like it's impossible for us to actually be grateful and to be serving with a grateful heart and also at the same time be stressed. Like our brain actually can't do both at the same time. I learned this when I was in counseling. I was just like, one of the things that I was told to like really help me was like, hey, if you are having like a really bad day and you just really feel like you can't beat the anxiety, I remember my counselor told me, he's like, I want you to go with other people and I want you to try to find a way where you can serve. Or just help someone out. Or maybe just tell someone thank you. Or just have a good conversation. And every time I did that, it didn't heal all my wounds. It didn't like fix everything. But for that moment, it allowed me to experience something I was struggling to find. And it was this type of peace or joy. And it was just, it's almost relieving. And when we continue to live in that way, we actually get to see not that just the benefit of being able to spread joy to others, but also how it benefits us as well. So why do I say all this? Because we're in this series, Joy in the Dirt. This started off just dirt, and we've continued to build our way one week after another, defining what it is, understanding how to find it, all this stuff to the point where now it is all fully grown, and it's all just so you know, it is fake. Like, this isn't real. I'm sure there's one person here that's like, how did that grow that fast? But I'm sure for all of us, we would love to see this and to look at this and be like, this is what I want my home to look like. This is what I want my church to look like. This is what I want my workplace to look like, my community. What happens is when we contain joy that we've been talking about throughout this whole series, what we can actually do is we can spread that joy to other people. And it creates this beautiful chain reaction where we actually get a beautiful picture and a lot of lives are changed, not just other people's life, but actually your own life as well, where we can find joy not just in helping others, but it actually helps us to experience that same joy as well. A verse I like, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You are the light of the world." And I love that because it's like, who are we, right? Like, to be called that. Because over and over again, we see Jesus is depicted and taught as he is the light. And he refers to himself in that way. But then he tells us, you are the light. You are to go out and to shine in the darkness. Now, it's actually our calling to make an impact on others' lives. And to also share with others the same exact joy that we have, the type of joy that we've been talking about throughout this series. And as we go, we're going to be in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15, if you want to flip there. But I remember when I was in high school seeing this quote one time above one of the teacher's classrooms. I don't know where it was or who it was, but all I remember is this quote. And it said, "Attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching?" I was like, oh, that's like one of those quotes that instantly makes you feel bad. Oh, man. But I was just like, wow. And what it reminds me of is one simple truth, and it's, what are you spreading? Because all of us are spreading something. Are you spreading negativity or gossip or your frustration, or are you trying to make an attempt to spread joy? As we go throughout Romans 15, we'll be talking about different tips, different things that we can learn about what it actually means to become a successful joy spreader. And just for context about Romans, I would be here for hours if we tried to explain everything that's talked about in the book of Romans. But it answers so many questions. What is the gospel? Who is the gospel for? What does the gospel even mean? How is someone saved? What does it mean for sinful people to be justified by a holy God? How does our life and what we're living in today also apply to the Old Testament? What should our relationship be to the law? What does it mean that God has grace for sinful people? Does it mean that God, since God has grace, does it mean that we have freedom to sin? Like, all of these questions, if you want answers, just read the book of Romans and you'll probably figure something out. And then the end of Romans, specifically chapters 12 through 16, it talks about how to actually live the gospel out, what it actually means to live out our salvation. It makes it really practical. And in chapter 15, specifically, Paul is talking about and instructing them on how to have harmony amongst one another. He's saying this because during that time, there was a lot of tension, there was a lot of division, there was a lot of people traveling through Rome, and there was a great tension still between the Jews and the Gentiles. And that's something I want you to just remember, because we'll keep coming back to that throughout this. So as I said, as we talk about this, and I'm sure you would love to experience like harmony, joy, a community that looks like this. So as we read through this, just five tips that stand out to me and how we could be a successful joy spreader. The first one, verses 1-3, says this: "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good and to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." The first tip is to serve others. Just to serve other people. And I've kind of already hit on this, but this, I love how he words this, because it feels like the world will tell us the opposite thing. Live a life to please you. What's right for you. That's where you find like joy and how you make the most of this life, right? And he tells us, don't live in a way to please yourself, but live in a way to please others. Now, this passage, he's not saying be people pleasers. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is what he also said in Philippians chapter 2, where he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, value others above yourself in humility. He is saying simply just to humble ourselves. He is saying, keep your eyes open for how you can serve somebody else. If you want to spread joy, then serve other people. And we ask why. Why should we do it? Because of verse 3. It says, for even Christ did not please himself. He did not live a life for him. He lived a life for others. We look throughout his entire ministry and his entire life, and over again, what he did was he walked as a living example for us that we could follow in his footsteps. And as I said in the beginning, how is it that we actually be a light in a dark world? We just follow him. We did as he did. And if there is anyone that perfectly demonstrated what it means to not focus on yourself, but to serve other people, it's what Jesus did time and time again. Paul would also say in 1 Thessalonians, and I think that this aspect of serving others plays a huge role. When we talk about spreading joy, and we often think about the message. Like, the reason we have joy is Jesus. So we want to spread the message. We want to spread the gospel. And it's what Paul says, though, is he doesn't just focus on that, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, what he is instructing them is he is telling them about how he ministered to them. And he said, when because of our love for you, we did not just share with you the gospel, but our lives as well. Like, we made it a continual habit to actually live with each other. Like, it wasn't like it's so easy for us to just like post something, post a Bible verse. It's so easy for us to just invite someone to church and let that be all it is. I'm not condemning those things. Those are great things we should be doing. But if we think that's it, we're missing the point. Because it's a lot harder to open our door and say, come have dinner. It's a lot harder to say, let's go out for coffee and let's actually like get to know each other a little bit. It's harder to, you know, if you find out the person's like, oh, I can't go to church and don't have a ride. Great, we have a car. Let's go. Like, always having eyes open. How can we actually step up? It's not just a message. And understand this, like, I'm sure you guys know this. There's 1,000 different things being preached in our world right now. And people are constantly on the search for what is the truth? What is right? Where is God? And people will understand the message so much better when we live it out. People will see the love of God when we show them the love of God, not just tell them about it. That is what really, really changes lives. When we start showing them, we start getting a little bit more of what this looks like. That's how we actually spread joy. So first thing, serve others. Second thing is in verse 4, second tip. It says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The second tip to be a successful joy spreader is to ground yourself in scripture. I love how anytime like scripture refers to itself, because there's literally so much that needs to, like, we really need to pay attention to what it's saying right there. And it's teaching us two things. So it says everything that was written was meant to teach us. So then ask myself, like, all right, what was it meant to teach? And it says through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide. So if we're looking for endurance or encouragement, we could find it when we ground ourselves in his word. And it's just like, do you feel like spiritually tired? Like, do you feel like you just have questions? and you feel far, and you're just, you feel like you need endurance. It's found in his word. Do you feel discouraged, or you just feels like it's just one thing after the other? It just feels like you can't catch a break. If you need encouragement, we find it in his word. And I find it just so refreshing, because I feel like sometimes what we do is we kind of either one, forget about, or kind of deceive ourselves into what like scripture actually is. Like, I feel like sometimes we think of it as a burden, right? Like, we think of it as a time waster. Like, that means I actually have to take time out of my schedule and what I want to do and to read it. Or sometimes we think like, I want to read it, but I don't necessarily want to hear what it has to say, right? And I feel like Psalm 19 helps us understand what the purpose of scripture is, what the purpose of his word is, and it teaches us what it's meant to do for us. In Psalm 19, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and they are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from a honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned, and by keeping them, there's great reward. Like, the purpose of his word was to refresh us. It was to give us joy and give us peace. Like, when we come back to this, it's when we're actually able to hear God's voice for once, when we feel like we're surrounded by so much other noise. He didn't give us his word so that it would burden us or make life more difficult. Sure, it's harder to live in this way and to follow Jesus. By no means, it's not easy because of our sin and what we want to do. But when we live in this way, we find out how refreshing it is, how much peace there is, how much joy there is. So if we want to be a joy spreader, if we want to make an impact on other people's lives, what we have to do first is ground ourselves into scripture so that we understand what it means to show the love of God. The third thing, third tip, is found in verses 5 through 9 in Romans 15. It says, may the God who gives encouragement and endurance give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Third tip to be a successful joy spreader is to not build barriers. Like, it's hard to spread joy when we keep building walls between each other. It's hard to spread joy when we allow bitterness to get in the way. It's hard to spread joy when we allow stereotypes to mess with our thinking. Like, so there's two things I think are really important to acknowledge here. In the beginning of verse 5, he says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement. May the God who gives it. So we find out, we just talked about finding endurance, finding encouragement. We find out right from that verse, it's God who gives it. So when we know, when we seek after him, he gives us endurance and encouragement. It also says right after that, may he also give you the same attitude of mind toward each other. So we're actually able to find unity, like-mindedness with each other in the same way when we ground ourselves in scripture, when we ask ourselves, what is most important, right? And the other thing that's important to acknowledge is he is talking about the church. He is talking about people who've placed their faith in Jesus. And I think that's so important for us to understand. Because the church is meant to be the last place where there is division, It's the last place where there should be finger pointing. Because he wants to use this, the church, his people, as an example of unity. Because what we do is when we build those barriers, we're going against everything Jesus destroyed. Right? I want to read in Ephesians chapter 2. This is another passage where Paul is specifically talking about this tension that there is between the Jews and the Gentiles at that time. I mentioned that early on this message. And what's happening between the Jews and the Gentiles, there's this tension because for the Jews, they're saying, God made a covenant with us, not with them. And then Jesus came and then he kind of confirmed that, but said also, surprise, he died for everyone. And then what we also see is that there's so many cultural differences between these two groups. And what Paul then teaches in Ephesians 2 to encourage them to come together, he's talking about what Jesus did and what his purpose was. He says, he himself is our peace, and he made the two groups one, and he has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh with the law, with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile them both to God through the cross. The cross was meant to bring together, not separate. It wasn't meant for us to just point fingers. Because what happens is when we decide to calm down, when we decide to meet back together at the foot of the cross, and we ask ourselves, what matters most? We're able to remember what Jesus did. And you might be thinking just for a second in your mind, like, but why that person? Like, if we want to get for real right now, like, why that group of people though? Like, why should I accept them? And when you think that, I want you to also think about verse 7, where he says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Why should Jesus accept you? Me. As we learn, like in Romans also teaches us, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have no right to have the love of God. And what Jesus did is he gave us an example and said, if I can do this for you, guess what? You can do it for others too. You can do the same for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Are there differences? Yeah, there is. And that's why we have conversations and we remind ourselves what matters most. Jesus came to bring us together. Not to divide us, not to build up barriers. And the second we tear down those barriers is when we are able to spread joy so much better than we were able to before. The next thing, number 4, these last two, 4 and 5, they come from verse 13. Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. The fourth tip to become a successful joy spreader is to cling to our hope. Hope is the answer to the question of how is joy sustainable? Like, how do I sustain joy through the hard times, through the questions, through the heartache? It's our hope. How do I continue to help others and put myself out there for other people when I feel like I'm not getting treated the same way back? It's hope. It's our hope in the fact that this place isn't our home. And it's hope that knowing that if we've placed our faith in Jesus, we are just passing through here. Because our home is in heaven, and we know that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That is hope. That's what sustains joy. And when we continue to remind ourselves of that, what we allow to happen is we get rid of an earthly mindset and we put on an eternal mindset. And what it does is it changes the way we think, it changes the way we talk to others, it changes the way we act. Because we care more about our eternity and we care a lot more about others' eternity as well. We understand the calling better that Jesus gave us when he says, "You are the light of the world." To be able to spread joy, we have to have an eternal mindset, not an earthly mindset. And when we have an eternal mindset, we know it is there because of hope. I love what 1 Peter says when he pretty much summarizes for us what our hope is, what our living hope is. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus." It's through his resurrection that we have this hope. And in Hebrews 6:19, it says, "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." It sustains our joy. It helps us to keep going. When we remind ourselves this pain, this heartache, this frustration, it's not permanent. Because this place isn't our home. The last thing, a tip, also from verse 13, I'll read it again. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit." The last tip to be a successful joy spreader is to rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on God. I don't know if you've seen a pattern yet from this passage, but there's a pattern that we've been seeing. In verse 5, it says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement." Like, we've read that before and we talked about, all right, so it's God who gives that when we ground ourselves in scripture. Then after that, it says, "and also give you the same attitude of mind in Christ Jesus." All right, so it's God who also helps us to be like-minded. Then verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace." Throughout this whole passage, it's talking about what God's doing, not a lot about what we're doing. Now, that doesn't mean we just sit back and say, "God, do your work." Like that's lazy faith. No, what it means is we continue to have a reliance and a dependence on God. We remind ourselves that we actually do have a God that is working. We remind ourselves that this thing called prayer isn't just a Christian thing we should do, but there's an actual God of this universe that listens, and that there is actual answers to prayer. And there actually is power behind prayer. And that we can continue to pray and ask God, "God, can you use me when I step into that workplace? When I go home, when I go to that restaurant, God, can you just use me to be a light? I don't know how you can, but just let me be a vessel." And you will be shocked at the people God puts in your path. Just to have a conversation, a person that is simply just having a bad day. And you're able to have an encouraging, uplifting conversation. And I find it so cool that so often God uses us when we're not doing too well, right? Like, God uses us when we feel unusable, when we feel like we're the one struggling. And then we hear someone, you know, later down the line to say, "Hey, what you said at that time really helped. Like, I've really made it. Hey, what you did made an impact on me." And you really, like, you think back to that moment. I'm like, wow, I was really struggling in that moment and was not thinking at all of how God could have been using me. And it reminds us that we're just vessels. And I think that with that and being able to rely on the Spirit, that it's meant to give us comfort. Because trying to spread joy can feel like a very defeating task. It can feel like you're constantly falling short, or you can feel like it's not working. What this reminds us is that it's not our job to change people's hearts and lives. Because we can't. And sometimes God will humble us and remind us, you can't. But what our job is to plant seeds, It's to continue to be a light and to pray that God would water those seeds. And we see over time, God is the one that is at work all the time behind the scenes. And we can find comfort in that, knowing we don't have to put all the pressure on us. Knowing that we have a God that's way bigger, way smarter than any of us. And he's the one at work in every single person's life. So to successfully spread joy, find harmony, serve others, ground yourself in scripture. Don't put up barriers. Cling to hope and rely on God to work. I think if we're able to just do any of these successfully, we will see God's hand at work, not just in our own life, but in other people's lives as well. So the last thing I'll say, I want to read a passage in Hebrews, and I'll have the worship team come out. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, and I just think this is such a powerful passage. As I skimmed through my whole Bible, not being able to find it, I found it. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." For me, this series has been very challenging. For me, I've struggled a lot with not living in joy. Like I find myself so susceptible to like negative self-talk and just being negative or complaining or just seeing things that don't go right. And I just, man. And I feel like these past few years, I've been on just such a journey. My joy looks like this, right? And if you can relate to that at all, know that it's a race that takes perseverance. And I find so much comfort that in the verses I just read, joy is always found right back at the cross. That's always where we could find it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured that for us. Now we can remind ourselves, you can remind yourself if you're struggling to have joy. I hope and I pray that for everyone, if there is anything you can take from not just this message, but this series, joy is found at the cross. And there's so much more joy when we don't just go to the foot of the cross, but when we take those we love alongside with us. We throw off that stuff that's hindering us. We place it there, we cast it onto him, knowing he cares for us. We ask him, "Give me joy. Restore to me the joy of my salvation." And when we pray that, we're able to experience something we can't find anywhere else. And if you're someone who doesn't struggle with this and you're able to find joy and you feel like you're just a pretty optimist, like that person exists. And if that's you, guess what? We need you. Like, I need you. People like me, like, don't keep that to yourself, man. Like, God called us to spread joy. You don't put a basket over a light. You put it on a mountaintop so it gives light to everybody. That's the way we're called to live. Not just with a message, but with our actions. And when we choose to be a light in that way, and we allow God to work, we're able to see this a little bit better in our communities, in our families, and in our church. Let's pray. Dear God, just thank you for your love and pray that you would help us to find and experience this type of joy. God, I thank you that you've accepted us, knowing we don't deserve it. Because even while we were still sinners, you went up to that cross. I pray that you would help us to remember that, to allow that hope of eternal life to be the thing that helps us to run this race with perseverance. There's so much in this life that wants to take our joy away, and I pray that you would help us to truly abide in you. And God, we need your help to do so. And I pray that you would help us, and that you would use all the people in this room to build each other up so that we can experience the joy that you offer us that we can't find anywhere else. We thank you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.